This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His final messenger. We ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon Him, the prophets and messengers that came before Him, His family and companions that served alongside Him, and those that follow in His blessed path until the day of judgment. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, at the end of today's khutbah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be having someone embrace Islam. But it's a very special way in which that brother will be embracing Islam. Brother Sebastian, who will be taking shahada with us, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, actually is hard of hearing. He's deaf here, but his heart is alive. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us, that it's not the sight that is blind, it's not the ears that are deaf, it's the hearts that go blind. It's the hearts that go deaf. And this message is so profound and so potent that it can reach people wherever they are, through generations, through cultures, through circumstances, and it can give life to a person's heart in a way that nothing else can. And we live that on a regular basis, alhamdulillah, with the beauty of La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah circulating through our hearts and veins, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and inspiring us towards our daily practices. Now, with that being said, I know that it can be deeply inspiring to watch someone else take shahada. It can be deeply inspiring to see the videos online that are constant now of people that are embracing Islam right and left. But one of the things that ends up happening here is that you disconnect yourself from the process and don't see yourself in the position of potentially being that one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to deeply transform someone else's life through. Now, the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma ja'alhu hadiyan mahdiya, wahdi bihi. Guidance overtakes all of us. Oh Allah, make him guided and guiding and guide through him. That it's one thing for us to crave guidance for ourselves, it's another thing for us to deeply want it for someone else. And there's a personal incentive there, as well as the love for the person that you are calling to that guidance. And I want to address two statements, two ahadith that all of you have probably heard, but situate them in their context for a moment. The first one that many of you have heard, وَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَكَ حُمْرُ النَّعَمْ. That I swear that for Allah to guide one person through you, it is better for you than if Allah were to give you a valley of red camels. Many of you have heard this hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. Another hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey on my behalf, even if it's one ayah, even if it's one verse, even if it's one thing that you can remember. Now let's talk about, really quickly, these incidents and where they come from. The first one is situated actually in Khaybar. The Prophet ﷺ is making his way to Khaybar after the treason that came from Khaybar, the attack from the inside of Medina. And the Prophet ﷺ says that tomorrow I'm going to give the banner to someone who loves Allah and His Messenger. And if you love Allah and His Messenger, you're beloved to Allah and His Messenger ﷺ. And what a beautiful testimony from the Prophet ﷺ for a person. And so all of the Sahaba start to poke their heads out in the morning and they're waiting at Salat al-Fajr. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is hoping it's him. Umar radiallahu anhu is hoping it's him. Uthman radiallahu anhu is hoping it's him. Ali radiallahu anhu is hoping it's him. You go through the whole crowd, the known and the unknown Sahaba, to be given that title of being beloved to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to be someone who truly loves Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I don't care what the task ahead is. I don't care if I'm walking into something that seems impossible at the moment. Everyone just wants to fit the sentence, fit the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called forth, Ayna Ali ibn Abi Talib? Where is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu? It was his moment. And Ali radiallahu anhu came and he had something in his eye. He was unable to see out of one eye. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, he's not able to see out of one eye. And the Prophet ﷺ took from his saliva and he cured the eye of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he gave him that banner. And that's one of the most beautiful testimonies and from the virtues of a person to be given that type of a vote of confidence. And Ali radiallahu anhu deserved it. And as the Prophet ﷺ hands him that banner, listen to what he says. He says, Ya Rasulullah, أُقَاتِلُهُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مِثْلَنَا. Such a profound sentence. Am I now to go fight them until they become like us? What's the instruction here? Is it demolition? Is it destruction? Is it revenge? Am I now to fight them and force them to be like us? أُقَاتِلْهُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مِثْلَنَا. Should I fight them until they become like us? Prophet ﷺ says, no, that's not what it is. Rasulullah ﷺ said, take your time, and when you get there, when you enter, he said, ادعوهم إلى الإسلام. Call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Call them to Islam. And tell them, وَأَخْبِرْهُمْ بِمَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ حَقِّ اللَّهِ فِيهِ. And tell them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands of them from the rights that are due from the creation to the Creator. And that's when the Prophet ﷺ said to Ali, O Ali, فَوَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَكَ حُمْرُ النَّعَمُ. O Ali, I swear by Allah, that if Allah was to guide one person through you, it would be better for you than a valley of red camels. A red camel is the most precious type of camel that the Arabs knew. And a valley of red camels is equivalent to a valley of gold. And essentially, a life's worth of earning is not equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing you with that one blessing of someone finding hidayah through you. Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed hidayah, has decreed guidance for who He has decreed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choosing you to be the person by which that person finds guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow people to be guided through us and allow us to be guided. Allahumma ameen. And the context of that is the ulama speak about the virtues of this hadith or the benefits of this hadith. That look, that if you take the time to call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one of them comes forward. This has been a tribe of treason and hardship. One of them, even one of them comes forward, that's the best possible outcome for you in your akhirah. One person that says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, through you. Now this is to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who has deep fiqh in the deen, deep understanding of the religion, and is in a position of power at this point. The assumption is that they will be at your mercy and you will call them to the most merciful first, and hope that someone's heart will be genuinely softened towards Islam before carrying out and proceeding with the battle. Now on the other hand, that hadith of the smallness of means, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Give my message to people, even if it's one ayah that you remember. Where does this come from? Hajjatul Wada', the farewell hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the blessing of that hajj is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had more people become sahaba in that hajj than his entire prophetic career. Over 100,000 people come camping out around Medina to do hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inside and outside of Medina. People met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the first time in hajj. And so you became a sahabi, likely your odds are because you met him in hajj sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you're hearing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speak for the first time in these khutab, the khutbah on the day of Arafah, the khutbah on the day of the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, on Yawm al-Nahr. You're hearing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speak, and as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving these messages to you, and he says, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Look, I don't expect you to remember all of this. I don't expect you to capture all of this. I don't expect you all to become scholars. But if you can take one of these ayat, one of these verses, one of these divine lessons, and convey them to someone else, that might be what makes your entire existence on earth worth it. You know, if you think about it from a personal perspective, as you would look back and bidnillahi ta'ala see a life of good deeds, I want you to imagine if you could say, and this would be part of your legacy, that you saved someone's life, that someone was about to objectively be killed, something was about to happen to them, and you stood in front of them and you saved their life, and that's something that is written down in your record. What the Prophet ﷺ is saying, that if Allah Azza wa Jal saves someone's afterlife through you, it is better than the dunya and everything that is in it. And that's a personal incentive for you to think about first. What am I doing? What am I earning? You know, a lot of times people assign value to themselves by different things. And what you assign value to yourself with tells you about what your heart actually values. And so someone says, what am I doing at home just raising a child? What am I doing just knowing these few people at work and this small circle, one or two non-Muslims, and mashallah, these people are running away with this and these people are running away with that, or this person is achieving this and this person is achieving that. For you to plant the seed of one person that says La ilaha illallah on this earth, that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala will grow gardens of people saying La ilaha illallah on this earth, is a life that's worth it. Now here's the thing. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that نَكَ لَن تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ. You don't guide who you love. And that's one of the difficult challenges to the Prophet ﷺ, is that some of the closest people to him were not included amongst those that were guided through him ﷺ. Whereas some of the people that killed the people closest to him were guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom. You don't guide whom you love. But you can't say you love someone if you're not praying for their guidance. And this is where I want to bring it back to all of us. As you're thinking about your coworkers, you're thinking about your family, you're thinking about your friend, maybe an old friend that you knew some time ago. I want you to ask yourself very sincerely, have you ever really, really made dua for that person to be guided? Like really exerted yourself in sujood, in your qiyam, and said, oh Allah, guide that person. Think about that. It's nice to have a friend for many years. It's nice, and we should be courteous to everybody, and we should carry ourselves in our akhlaq, our characters, our greatest da'wah. But have you made dua for that person? Have you really thought to yourself, oh Allah, guide that person and let me be there? SubhanAllah, many of you witnessed Brother Ambry with Brother DeMario. SubhanAllah, I can tell you how much he wanted that moment. And it's years building up to it sometimes, but have you ever pushed yourself and said, Ya Allah, let me see that one person. Let me see that family member. Let me see that friend. Maybe you have. But if not, push yourself. Be sincere in your dua. Because that could be the thing that makes your entire life worth it. Yes, there will be imams and du'at and ulama and tulab ilm, students of knowledge, and people who do this for a living. But you know what? At the end of the day, just like it's only Allah's guidance, it's also only Allah's acceptance. One of the scary things is that it may be that Allah Azza wa Jal guides hundreds of people, thousands of people through a person, but Allah does not accept it from them. And it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides one person through you, and Allah azza wa jalla accepts it from you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us all. Allahumma ameen. At the end of the day, we're just hoping to be in the equation somewhere, to be somewhere in that line. But take it as a personal imperative, that when you're meeting someone, when you're with someone, that you want to show them the beauty of Islam, that you want it to shine through your character, and that you're going to apply yourself, and don't make the excuse, well, I don't know much anyway. I don't know much anyway. And it's a shame. It's a shame, and it's something we have to deeply interrogate ourselves for. If someone has known you for years, and their hearts have not softened towards Islam, you need to ask yourself some pretty difficult questions. If someone has known you for years, and does not have more clarity about what Islam is, and does not have some softness in their heart towards it because of your good character and the way that you distinguish yourself with the way that you carry yourself, you need to ask yourself some difficult questions at that point. We don't have the opportunity, the privilege, to separate this da'wah out and to allocate it to this exclusive group of people. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Many of you have heard more about Islam, if not every single person in here, than the people who met the Prophet ﷺ that day when they heard directly from him, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey on my behalf, even if it's an ayah. And even if that means supporting someone who's doing da'wah, playing a secondary role, Allah writes it all down. But take it as a personal imperative, dear brothers and sisters. Your co-workers, your old friends, your classmates, it's on you, anyone that you meet. The Prophet ﷺ never looked past the person that was right in front of him. And the person that was most deserving of da'wah was always that person that was right in front of him ﷺ. Even if that was just speaking through his blessed character and then praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night to guide that person and to find the means to call them to Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be guided and guiding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give life to our hearts through this beautiful message of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to open the hearts of the people towards this beautiful message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow that message to live in our actions, in our day-to-day, in our character. May Allah allow those who don't know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through knowing us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who bring people who don't know Him to know Him and to love Him and to believe in Him and to become a source of sadaqah jariyah for each and every single one of us. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi li wa lakum wa li sa'iri muslimin fastaghfiru innahu al-ghafur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب دعوات اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا ولا تعذبنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا وإخواننا من بينهم سالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعماء يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة